So when Steve asked me to look into the possibility of us serving in Haiti, or just what was even out there and available, I had no expectations about what I would find. I contacted multiple churches and organizations and did a lot of research, and I've done this before with Katrina, so I kind of knew where to go and who to look for and all that. And the more research I did, the more I just had a fire to go, going, this is something that, you know, God really put this fire in me to really get going. So I began having a dialogue with Calvary Chapel Kane, and it's pronounced Kane. You would never tell by the spelling, but that's how you say it. And over the next couple of months, I just had this dialogue going back and forth, how they're doing. They shared their experience in the earthquake. They were in Haiti. Side note, they were actually supposed to stay at the Hotel Montana, I think it was called.
In Port-au-Prince.
In Port-au-Prince, because they were there on vacation. And it actually, that hotel completely collapsed. There was like no survivors. Lots of Americans died. Yeah. And they ended up going, well, let's stay at this hotel instead at the last minute. And if they had stayed at that hotel, they would have died. So a lot of really interesting stories. And eventually they asked for volunteers. So we jumped at the chance to go. And as God usually does, he prepared the way. We had the funds. And I had the time off of work. I had all these multiple projects, and it just worked out that I was able to go that week. So it was incredible. And the Drulius family volunteered to watch our kids. So we didn't know what was going to happen with the kids, if Tina could go or how that was going to happen. And it was a very generous blessing. And you might be wondering why my parents didn't watch our kids.
The kids were very well behaved. They came to our residence. They were very well behaved.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that. Glad they didn't set anything on fire. So I approached my mom about watching the kids, because I usually, you know, watch them part of the time, kind of a thing. And when I asked her, she flat out said, absolutely not. You've done this enough times. You don't need to go, and we will not watch your kids. I went, okay. And that's not my mom's personality at all. And it was like, wow. And it really set deep with me, like, what is going on? And so I learned, well, first I had to learn not to be discouraged, because I'm here to serve my Heavenly Father, not my parents. So if they don't approve of it, that's too bad. God approves. And it turns out my mom did that because she thought I was going to die in Haiti. I mean, she was like distraught. I mean, nonstop. You know what you're doing. You're leaving your kids behind. You're going to get bit by a dog and die of rabies. I mean, she just went on and on and on. And I mean, she was just, she actually had, my dad was telling me later, they had these conversations about how they were going to hire some organization to fly in and like rescue us out of Haiti if something happens. And It was something else. You know, she kept thinking I was going to die, and I was okay with that, because I'm okay dying in the service of the Lord. I mean, that's awesome. And they think it'd be a tragedy for my kids, but I'm going, actually, what an example for them. So it's hard. My parents aren't believers, so they didn't quite get that. But amen. All right, so I had no idea what I was going to be doing while I was in Haiti. Shortly before we left, they asked us to teach an art lesson, which Tina did, and it went very well. But God had a lot more in store for me. I thought I was going to be doing maybe some kind of construction work or, you know, something like that. And my doctor looked at me and he goes, don't take this the wrong way, but you don't look like a construction guy. But, thanks. What's that supposed to mean? So once they found out that I knew about computers, they had tons of work for me to do. It was just unbelievable. I actually worked on radio equipment, cabling, printers, scanners, copiers, hard drives, PCs, anything they could find that wasn't working right. They just threw it at me and said, here, can you fix this? And I go, yeah, I can do that. Okay. So it was actually just amazing that I had the exact skill set that they really needed, because that's just something that they don't have around. You know, when something breaks, you can't just go down to Fry's and buy a new one. You can't go buy new anything. I mean, just that equipment's not there, the skill to repair it isn't there. So they just had all this broken stuff, or people donated things. And so it's like, well, here's an external hard drive, but it's not formatted. Well, they don't know how to format a hard drive. You know, that's the foreign language to them. So I'm like, yeah, I can do that, sure. So, and then they also asked me to design the layout for the website for the radio station. And I actually had done website layout before. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. So we sat and got the requirements, and I wrote it all up, and they had somebody here in the States that they love to do, to actually do the technical piece, to actually put it online. So I did all the requirements, wrote it all up, gave it to him, and he posted it. And before we left, they were live on their website. So it was very cool. and now, yeah, the website's live. And it was really cool, because I never felt so valued on a trip before. you know, and my doctor was right. I'm not a construction guy. But I did have gifts that God used. And one day, I asked the pastor when we'd be working on the fence. We actually brought money and we bought the supplies to make this, put up a fence around the tent camp. And so we went and we bought the barbed wire to put up. And they don't have, like, you know, wood. They, like, chop down a tree and, you know, cut it up. And you got a branch sticking out of the ground. And that's the fence post. And so I said, oh, when are we going to go work on that? And he looks at me and he says, well, we have guys that can do that. I don't have guys that can work on computers. You can do that if you want, but I'd really like you to spend your time here. And I said, okay. So I was inside of an office working on computers the whole time. It was pretty funny. And he kept emphasizing the point. He goes, even if we'd had the skill, we couldn't afford to pay the labor for someone to come out and fix this stuff. He goes, it's so outrageously expensive. There's no way. I'm like, wow, what an honor. Thank you, Lord. And it was great. You know, we really just fit right in. We felt like family. You know, Betty and Bastia just welcomed us into their home. Very friendly, very generous. They didn't say a word as we complained about the roaches, the beetles, the leeches, the termites, mosquitoes, spiders, mice, or lizards, and so on and so on. They just smiled and go, well, that's Haiti. You know. Besides, you know, Hillary had a mouse run in her room and a roach run up her leg and all that good stuff. It was quite interesting. Actually, one night, Betty and I are working late one night in the office, and we're talking, and we hear, like, oh, must be another roach. And it turns out that Tina and Hillary are roach ran in, and they're the big size, you know, tropical roaches, and it runs in the house, and they're trying to shoo it out. So they open the door to shoo it out, and another one flies right in at Hillary's face. It was awesome. A lot of screaming. It was fun. One thing I was really impressed with was how much this church does for their community. I mean, just everything they do. If there's food left over, they go outside and they hand it to somebody. I mean, just constantly. They pay for a clinic every Saturday. So the Port-au-Prince refugees, it's totally free for them. And for the community, it's like 25 cents. I mean, it's so cheap. And so they pay for all the medical supplies, all the equipment. They pay for everything. It's just amazing. And eventually, the tent camp, they're hoping to turn into some permanent housing because they own the land. They purchased this plot of land, and they have a builder that's donating prefabricated housing, and they're hoping to set some up, and actually people would have a permanent place to live. It's pretty impressive. They provide food, both spiritual and physical. You know, there is a lot of voodoo, especially in the rural areas. They were telling us stories. She actually compared it to being in the Book of Acts, the pastor's wife, because she said there's a sorceress that came around, and Haitians have a saying that sorceresses eat babies. And so it was interesting. They shared the story that she was there, and so the people were freaking out because they knew who she was. And so the pastor, you know, Bastia sat down, and he said, you need to know that we're not afraid of you. You know, we serve God, and he's more powerful than anything you got. And she goes, oh, no, no, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not me. And he goes, I'll tell you right now, our babies aren't going anywhere. It was like, whoa. You know, just stuff that we don't really experience, you know, here. And it was, you know, very prevalent there. And a lot of people get saved out of voodoo and are learning about Christ. It's just incredible. They also host a school, the School of Grace. So it's about 150 kids. And they actually have started a meal program, which you'll see in the show later afterwards. But they got donations for that. And that's probably the only meal a lot of those kids will get for the day. So they also have a radio station that had been live for like 2 weeks when we got there. That was pretty impressive. And they play Christian music and sermons. And they do this in Haitian music. And they do it in French and Creole and sometimes a little English. So they'd have it playing in the background. And every once in a while, you know, like Chris Tomlin or somebody would pop up. And you're like, hey, it's in English. I know that song. Or you'd recognize like the beat. And you're like, I know this song, but I have no idea what they're saying. It was fun. So the question, will I go back? Yes, actually. Bastia asked me to come back and set up a computer lab for them. So basically, I would get laptops for donations, which I'm working on, set up a computer lab, and I would teach a basic computer class. You know, this is a mouse, this is a keyboard, this is how you do this and that. And then they would pay for an instructor from one of the towns about an hour or so away to come out and actually teach the community business applications, like Word and Excel, and actually start educating, you know, bringing them up to know where we're at and really help them out. And I was so impressed by that. And they would have, you know, give out certificates and have a graduation and really help out their community. I was so blown away. How awesome is that? So And they also asked that next time we visit, they would like our pastor Steve to come. He said, no, really, you tell your pastor. I really want him to come. And I said, okay, I'll tell him. But yeah, so that's what I had to share. Thank you.